Welcome to VFN Radio. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Oh, the Lord is good. Welcome, 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 VFN Radio. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful day today. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Joining me today in the studio is Pat the Man Hamilton.
Good morning.
And the one, the only, you know I gotta say it. Go ahead, what's your name?
Chris.
Cat.
Chris Cat in the house.
No, he didn't.
In the house, Chris Cat. Well, we give some shout outs this morning to Nancy and Steve. Hey, Staten Island's in the house. And myself, John Ramos. I'll be hosting today for Greg Lancaster. Pastor Barbara in Texas, how are you? I miss you. I miss hearing all that great, great stories and testimonies. I'm looking forward to talking to you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Eddie, oh my goodness, I can't wait to see you, man. I thought about getting you something here, but I know you're doing that, you know, insanity, man.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. I don't know where it's happening, but we'll talk about it. Kay Chara, the Lord is good. Oh my goodness. I heard. That is awesome. It's happening. This is that. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Well, I'm John Ramos, and I'll be hosting today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Oh, my goodness, the Lord is good. I'm telling you, being alive is a pretty good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is pretty good. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, I'm enjoying it. You know, I always say this, you know, I don't get tired. Five fingers on each hand, mm-hmm. right? I mean, five fingers, right? Five toes on each, you know.
Sort of.
Well, Pat's got an extra finger, but we're not going to talk about that. He's extra blessed.
Yeah. It just points the other way.
Yeah, just many ways, many, many directions. But, five toes on each feet, man, we're blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Oh, my goodness. So how was your weekend, Pat?
Yeah, it was very good, very good.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I don't remember. Seriously, I do not.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That exciting, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It was good.
It was good.
It's always good when you don't remember.
What's today?
Today's Monday. Oh, okay. Today's Monday. Yeah, October right. The 1st. Could you believe it?
Oh no.
My goodness, man. 60 days away for the new year. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, time is flying by.
It is.
Well, I had a pretty good weekend. You know, I had a chance to see my baby brother get married. Oh my goodness.
He's not such a baby, though.
No.
Isn't he like twice your size?
All right. All right. Thank you. Yeah. Why? No, I'm joking. No, he's not. Yeah.
He's always been big.
Yeah. But it was pretty cool, man. Married a beautiful young lady, Lauren, my sister in-law here. Great, great couple, and it was really, really good seeing him take this big leap here. Big leap, but he's Mr. Man now, Mr. Married Man.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. He reminded me of a story when he was younger. You know, there's about 15-16 years difference between us, and when he was younger, I was driving. He's like 2 or 3 years old, and something like that. I don't remember, like about 3 or 4 probably, and down in the Gulf Coast, there's these planes that fly over the Gulf Coast, over the water, mm-hmm. and they say you can see fish and shark and, you know. So he says, and we drive by it every day. So we're going to the grocery store to pick up something, I don't know. And he says, I want to go on the plane. I want to go on the plane. And I go, Adam, I don't have any money to put you on the plane. So he's like, so he goes, yes, you do. I go, how do you know? And he pulls out money out of his pocket. He says, I can pull this out of your wallet.
Like, are you serious?
He's at four. Yeah.
Oh my
he's
God.
Like, I pull this out of your wallet. You got plenty of money. So I pull on over.
Wow.
I don't know what in the world I was thinking. You know, I don't know if I was in high school. I don't know where, you know, maybe just in first year in college, something like that. I don't know what in the world I was thinking, but I put this boy. I said, all right, let's go on this plane. Okay. Now, this single propel duster, you know, this
crop duster?
Yeah, crop duster. I mean, and then, you know, dude is like, oh, yeah, we're going to show you sharks and everything. And I'm like, okay, man, just keep us out there. You know, I want to let him see some sharks. So I take him up on his plane, and he's just like, you know, hooting and hollering and just watching everything and having a good time. So we get down, and it didn't dawn on me that the first thing this boy was going to do was tell his mother.
Hello.
Hey, hello.
Apparently you didn't run that by her.
Exactly. We were in a plane. We were in a plane. She's like, yeah, right. No, he's like, really, really? We were in a plane.
Oh, no.
And she's like, you put my son in a plane? I'm like, I guess I did. I guess I did. You know, I was like, oh.
Oh, well, I can imagine.
But that was an interesting moment in both of our lives, you know. But that was pretty cool. But proud of him and proud of his new bride. And, man, people growing up, man. Mm. Unbelievable. Does that mean we're getting old?
Well, you may be. You look a little gray there.
Gray is coming in, man. The gray is coming in. I got to get either a black Sharpie or something, man. And just take care of this thing here. But I did have a chance while being here in the Gulf Coast to have some of special crispy cream donuts.
Oh, wow.
I mean, if you never had a crispy cream donuts and you're listening today, I'm going to tell you right now, you got to get you some crispy cream donuts, the original one, the glaze, you know, and they're nice and hot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Eddie, I was thinking about bringing you some back. I really was. I said, you know, I know because I know how much he likes them. I brought some back the last time I was here. But I knew that you're doing this insanity, man. And I didn't want to mess you up, man. I didn't want to mess you up. So, that, you know, we just can't do that. You know, I just said, I will not do that to you. you know, he's laughing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pat, talk to us, man. I know that you just got this great truck, man. And how do you feel about when things get, you know, papers get in your truck? I mean, do you, is it clean? Is it, you know, how are you taking care of that thing?
Is it clean?
Yeah, your truck, is it clean? Is it?
Is there anything on the floorboard?
Not anymore.
How does that
except for there's a bunch of beach sand.
How does that make you feel when paper and stuff gets on the floorboard of your car?
I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
For a few seconds.
Do you cringe? Do you? Is that when all his hair starts sticking up like this and just go? Buzz, he doesn't like any paper.
You know, it's not a trash can. It's a vehicle.
I know, but just a paper. But just one paper on the floor. Do you reach down and get it or something?
I do. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, it's got to come up.
Got to come up. Just
it cannot stay there long.
Needless to say, I dropped a lot of papers in this car, in the back of the car. I get just enjoyment out of that.
I've seen your vehicle, buddy.
It's an office. It's an rolling office.
That's not the first word that came to mind.
Well, you've seen Greg's vehicle, right? You've seen
we won't bring that up.
Oh, my goodness. We won't bring up the Saints either, will we? We won't do that this morning.
So how are the Giants? They're done again?
Well, I'm thinking about the Saints. I do want to say, and I'm going to say this is going to be the last time we talk about this. It's going to be the last time.
Mm-hmm.
But our friend now, our abiding friend.
He's a good friend of yours.
R.A. Dickey, he has done it. We talked the last week that he was going for this 20th win, and oh my goodness, Pat, he did it, man.
Wow, check it out.
Unbelievable, man. Give God all the glory. But, you know, we were talking earlier, and it's just a great story because, you know, I can relate to it, you know, and we're about his same age, and, and he was just, you know, this is his, like, third and fourth and fifth and sixth chance. You know, it's like, kind of like me. You know? I'm on my 90th chance here. I'm like, Lord, please, you know. And everyone gave up on him. And one interesting story that I just heard here recently was that when they told him that his arm would never work again, and they released him after offering him almost $1 million contract, signing out of college, they said, listen, we're gonna renege on our contract.
Oh wow.
Yeah, we're gonna renege on a contract because there's something wrong with your arm. And he's like, no, my arm is fine. He's like, no, you're missing like this major thing here. You're not gonna pitch. You're not gonna last, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so, long story short, they took it away. Then they offered him $75,000. It was like almost $1 million, and they offered him $75,000. And then I didn't know this, but he had $1 million insurance policy on his arm when he was in college. And he had to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Do I cash in this $1 million and never pitch another day in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I go for it for $75,000 and go for my dream?
Mm-hmm.
And he went for it.
Wow.
He went for it.
Right.
I mean, and I just think that takes just so much guts and so much faith. And that's where we need to be, you know? Don't give up on yourself. You know, God has called you to do a great work. God has called you to do something powerful in the kingdom of God. And, you know, people line up and it's giving you a checklist of saying why you can't do this and why you can't do that. And you'll never make it. And you didn't do this. And you know your past and you know what you did. And my goodness, man, don't let anyone tell you any lies. Don't let the enemy plant any lies in your head. Trust God. Step out in bold faith and see what the Lord's going to do in your life and how he's going to use you. And trust me, if you went through some trials, what the enemy went for evil, God will turn for good. I mean, isn't that just awesome?
Mm-hmm. It's powerful.
Powerful, powerful. Well, I wanted to share today in God's news behind the news. I know that our VFN radio listeners, we're just hearing. I mean, there's so much stuff happening, man. It's like every day is like, I've never seen so many transitions. I've never seen so many, you know, things happening across the world on so many fronts.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking, God, Lord, but Lord. This is good. It's all coming. You know, mm-hmm. it's all happening.
That's right.
And it's our opportunity as the church to say, you know what, these are the signs of the times. This is that. And to wake up. But just last week, you know, the UN General Assembly got gathered there in the United Nations in Manhattan in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the president spoke, and the president of Iran spoke. I'm not gonna say his name today. You know, the president of Iran. Thank you, Chris, for that interpretation the other day. he spoke Wednesday, but Thursday, the president of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, asked the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, actually spoke to the General Assembly. And remember that, you know, he's already tried to seek a meeting with our president, Barack Obama, and that did not happen. Now, mind you, the president came last year to the UN and had 13 one-on-one side meetings with world leaders.
13.
Wow. And this year, he just doesn't have time to have one.
Amazing.
With our most important ally, you know, with our most important ally in the Middle East, and that's Israel. And it's kind of, you know, what's up with that? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, wait a minute.
Not good.
And I mean, especially if you say we're friends, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially if you say you're, you know, we're together on this. So Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu last week made his appeal to the American people when he came on some of the shows on Sunday and really shared about the red line being drawn toward, you know, for Iran and their nuclear bomb, basically. And He made the appeal to the American people. Well, this last Thursday, he was drawing the line. I mean, literally.
Yeah, literally.
Literally, he was drawing the line, and he was speaking to all the world leaders on Iran, the threat, and how, you know, we need to be unified in this. Mm-hmm. This is a real threat.
Right.
And I don't think that you know, you have to wake up. You got to see what's happening. You know, during the time that Hitler was doing all the things that he was doing to the Jews at that time. It was interesting. You know, the 6 million Jews, 6 million were murdered. And you think, you know, one man couldn't have done that. One man couldn't, you know, he was in charge, but he didn't physically do it. How did the rest of the people get sucked and drawn into that? You know, something that's interesting that I was reading that said basically, the people in Germany, they were going through financial, you know, difficulties. It was a tough time, and they were doing without. And what was happening was that Hitler and his crew, they were basically taking everything away from the Jews. They were confiscating their property. They were taking all of this stuff, And there's a book out called Hitler's Beneficiaries, and I haven't read all of it. I just read a little insert on it, a little sample type of thing. And just the little part that I read, I can't really vouch for the rest of it, but the but the little part that I read, I thought was so just, I mean, striking.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes you to think, like, wow, what happened here? Well, what Hitler and his crew was doing, they were bringing all the stuff that they confiscated from the Jews, they were bringing it to the people's homes. They go, from the government, we want to bless you here with this china. We want to bless you with this furniture. We want to give you all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they started all the propaganda, which was really lies towards the Jews, they just fell in line. Yeah, that's right. And you can see how a people were so easily manipulated, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so sad, you know.
Right.
So easily manipulated because they were getting stuff. And it were very easy to turn on the Jews. And it's like, you know, during that time, why did it take so long for someone to say, we need to stop this madman? We need to stop this madman. Well, look, there's another madman who wants to annihilate Israel. He wants to annihilate Israel. He wants to take them off of the face of the map. And they really want to attack the United States as well. You know, this is the president of Iran. Well, I want you to listen to just the plain language. I mean, this is a Harvard-educated man, that the prime minister of Israel. He's very smart, man. He's very wise.
Oh, yeah.
This is so wise. And of him speaking to the nation and speaking in plain language. Because, you know, it's something, you know, it takes great skill to talk really, you know, something very plainly that's very complicated. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the plainer you make it, the better that people understand it. So I want you to listen and...
The way that you can credibly prevent Iran from developing a nuclear weapon is to prevent Iran from amassing enough enriched uranium for a bomb.
And this is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaking to the General Assembly last Thursday at the UN. Listen up.
So how much enriched uranium do you need for a bomb? And how close is Iran to getting it? Well, let me show you. Brought a diagram for you. Here's a diagram. This is a bomb. This is a fuse.
So what he has is a diagram, plain black and white diagram, okay? But it's getting the point. And it's this big old bomb, kind of a cartoon type of bomb with a fuse on it. And the round bomb has different stages. He has a stage one, two, and three. Actually, the final stage two, and stage three. And he's showing the percentage of where they're at in developing this bomb here.
In the case of Iran's nuclear plans to build a bomb, this bomb has to be filled with enough enriched uranium. And Iran has to go through three stages. The first stage, they have to enrich enough low enriched uranium. The second stage, they have to enrich enough medium enriched uranium. And the third stage and final stage, they have to enrich enough high enriched uranium for the first bomb. Where's Iran? Iran's completed the first stage. Took them many years, but they completed it, and they're 70% of the way there. Now they're well into the second stage. And by next spring, at most, by next summer, at current enrichment rates, they will have finished the medium enrichment and move on to the final stage. From there, it's only a few months, possibly a few weeks, before they get enough enriched uranium for the first bomb. Ladies and gentlemen, what I've told you now is not based on secret information. It's not based on military intelligence. It's based on the public reports of the International Atomic Energy Agency. Anybody could read them. They're online.
Did you hear that? This is not Israel's I'm sued getting the secret information here. This is plain for everyone to see. This is obvious information that he's sharing. This is out for the world. You can Google it.
So if these are the facts, and they are, where should a red line be drawn? A red line should be drawn right here.
He's drawn the red line right at the second stage.
Before Iran completes the second stage of nuclear enrichment necessary to make a bomb, before Iran gets to a point where it's a few months away or a few weeks away from amassing enough enriched uranium to make a nuclear weapon.
Now, this is what's going on. This is what's being shared. I mean, he shared this from the General Assembly, and he made the red line very, very clear. They must be stopped. They will use this bomb.
Right.
They will use it. And it was just reported in Jerusalem Post that the France Prime Minister is saying that even with these sanctions, that it's starting to come now, you know, to against Iran. They're starting to feel the pinch of what's happening. And right now, they're actually losing $45 billion a year, it looks like, in the loss of income from their oil because of all the sanctions now that are being waged. It's like it's all starting to catch up. It's like all this is coming to a crescendo, if you will. And it's time for the world. It's time for the church. It's time for Americans. It's time for everyone to stand with Israel. God's chosen people. I mean, you look in Genesis, and right from the first book of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
Genesis, in the beginning, I mean, the 12th chapter. Think about this. You know how many books there are in the Bible? How many words? How many pages? How many chapters? In the 12th chapter of the first book of the Bible, Genesis, this is what God says to Abraham. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you.
Mm-hmm.
Man, there is a blessing for those that stand with Israel. There is a blessing.
That's right.
But let me tell you, there is a curse for those who oppose Israel. This is the church's finest hour. And I'm so encouraged by hearing all the many different believers that are standing for Israel. I know that we here stand for Israel with KUFI, Christians United for Israel. And we mm-hmm. encourage you to be a part and participate as well. But it's our prayers for the Jewish people. I encourage you to continue to pray for the Prime Minister of Israel. I mean, right now they're handing out gas masks.
Mm-hmm.
This is the threat that they're living under. And you know, further on in his speech, he's saying within 6 months, you know, this bomb can be ready.
Mm-hmm.
This bomb can be ready. And at what point do you say this is just talk? You can't. You can't. When someone has a loaded gun pointed towards you, and they say, you know, I don't like you, I want to take you out.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, wait a second, this ain't gonna work. So I'm telling you, we can stand with Israel. We are standing with Israel. And get the word out. Share the word on Facebook and share it amongst your friends. Be public and be bold about your stance, because this is that. We will be blessed if we bless Israel. But if we curse Israel, we will be cursed. This is God's word. And we cannot turn a blind eye like was done during the time of Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't close our eyes. We just can't ignore this reality.
That's right.
We must do something about it. We'll be right back.
You know, I think about that, you know, Promise Keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together, and we got to get
right.
people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America,
mm-hmm.
then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what got birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in to die. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it, when he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who's did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. If we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown in their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ when I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about. You know, when I hear about religion, and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion, then I hear Jesus, there's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying, and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you. You can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding a relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love and he's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org. You know, you might be listening to the VFN radio right now and begin to hear what God's doing and how God has touched other people's lives. And then you might be asking yourself, you know, can God really use me? And you might be taking an account and looking back on what you've done in your life and think that God can't. Well, I want to encourage you that you can read stories and read through the transition of how God encountered other people's lives and look into to see what God did. I want to encourage you to read and check out meetmyfather.org. And on the right-hand side of that, you'll see read other testimonies, read other stories. And you can see how God used people just like you to draw people to himself. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Steve, all the time people tell me they want so much more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the VFN radio program. They love the 24-hour loop, but did you know that what's available to them now on VFNTV.com is the opportunity to be a subscriber?
Awesome.
When they subscribe, they get access to so much more. You have more content, more information, and more things that will encourage you, will bring enlightenment and education. Be a subscriber. It's absolutely free. Doesn't cost you a thing. You can go to VFNTV.com and subscribe now. Welcome back to VFN Radio. Joining with me in the studio is Pat Hamilton and Chris the man.
The man.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're back. You know, we had an interesting, just before the break, my goodness, standing with Israel, man, standing with Israel. This is the time to stand. Well, I know, Pat, you were telling me a little while earlier that you are a very serious football fan. I mean,
well, I was.
Well, you said you were a player, but we weren't too convinced about that. I mean,
apparently not.
It's on the torch. You know, if you're listening today and you want to see Pat in his full sports regalia, his uniform, and I mean, he's sitting on the bench in this picture. But you can go to VFNTV.com and then click the torch. And please, I mean, just go ahead and search. Just say Pat. Search Pat and a football, and you'll see him there with do-rag and all. And you know, I'm telling you, man, you look intense there.
Yeah.
But what's going on here with the referees? I mean, I know they some stuff going on in the NFL, and I'm not the football fan, really.
Right.
So you'll have to educate.
You're the baseball guy.
That's right.
Well, basically, up to since the season started, the referees have been, I don't know if you call it a strike, but you know, their negotiations broke down basically with a new contract. So they've had replacement refs up to this point.
Replacement refs.
Replacement refs.
Okay.
You've heard of replacement players before.
Yes.
We have replacement refs.
Okay. They call those players scabs, right, or something like that?
Yeah, they did. They treated them really bad.
That's bad.
So up until, I guess, last Monday night, there has not been an agreement.
Okay.
But there was a huge shift that caused it to, you know, make a quick decision. Okay, we need to get our refs back in here.
What happened?
Oh, it was just terrible game. You know, I think it was last Monday night. The Packers and the Seahawks were playing on Monday night. And
oh, wasn't
the very
Saints.
Last play of the game, there was this very, very controversial call.
Really?
That shifted. Basically, the Packers lost the game because of it.
One
bad call.
And they lost the entire game.
Yep.
And one losing one game.
And it was obvious. I mean, it was in front of everybody. Everybody saw it. It was plain.
Plain as day.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
And when you lose one game, it's like it has huge significance. You know, how many games are in a season? Not that many.
16 regular, yeah, and then you got playoffs.
Wow. kind of reminds
but,
me.
But within 2 days, we had our rest back.
Well, oh, we, you hear him, Chris? We had our
well,
rest
you
back.
Know, the NFL. Okay, excuse
okay.
me.
I was just wondering what you were talking about there. But it goes to show you, I mean, no one thinks about the ref. Everyone makes all these big stink mm-hmm. about the players and all the stuff that they do. Mm-hmm. But you don't, they don't, you never hear the ref. See the guy with a little funny white hat, a little striped shirt.
All right.
You know, he's a pretty important deal, isn't it?
He's very important. I never realized how important until you saw stuff like that. I mean, I saw a lot of horrible calls.
Right.
But this was just so blatant. It was like, oh my goodness.
And they had instant replay.
And they watched it over and over again. On instant replay.
Isn't it amazing? Because it reminds me how important everyone is in the kingdom of God. If you think about it,
oh, yeah.
you know,
oh,
every
yeah.
joint supplies. There's mm-hmm. no little I's or little me's or little. Everyone's important. You know, Ephesians 4:16 says that from him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament mm-hmm. grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
That's
and it's
right.
like, man. There's no insignificant parts. It's just a lie of the enemy that'll tell you that you're insignificant in God's kingdom.
That's right.
It's just a lie of the enemy because we all need each other. That's the whole thing. It's all of us coming together, praying together, mm-hmm. functioning as the family of God together, advancing the kingdom of God together.
Right.
And we all not called to do everything. I mean, God's, you know, Jesus gave the gifts to the church. The, you know, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the mm-hmm. teachers, the evangelists, the five, you know, five hand of God, five, you know, five-finger hand of God, as they call it sometimes, which is the offices in the church. But they're to prepare God's people mm-hmm. for works of service. They're not supposed to do all the works of service. They're preparing. And that's what the church is. It's a family. It's mm-hmm. we're working together.
Right.
No little eyes. No big eyes, no little eyes. It's all one family under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But it's so, I mean, it's so, so important because it's just what the enemy tries to do. The enemy tries to minimize, you know, who you are, what God's doing in your life, and it'll tell you that you don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
When my goodness, Jesus Christ died for you.
Right.
You matter a whole lot. You're very important to Jesus.
That's right.
And you're very important to the kingdom of God. You know, we all can do something. And I encourage you, you know, you get involved. Get involved. Share your testimony. And oftentimes people say, I want to do something for God. I want to do something for God. And they're maybe thinking of, you know, I can never do. Let me tell you, the greatest thing that you could ever do, one of the greatest things you could ever do is share with others what Jesus has done for you. In fact, I had a chance to talk to Darlene. Darlene, I'm giving you a shout out there. Talked to Darlene this weekend, and she was telling me her amazing testimony on how God set her free, man. God set her free over 8 years. She, you know, she had just battled drugs and mm-hmm. stuff like that, and she's just having a hard time. And she, I mean, just to see it in her eyes, man, it was so awesome. She says, you know, God set me free, and right. and I'm not ashamed. Let me tell you, God set me free. And
wow.
It's beautiful.
That's awesome.
It's beautiful when God can just set you free of anything that you're battling, any sin, anything that's designed to you know, by the enemy to wear you down and pull you down. You're not what you're being attacked with. That's such an important revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Because the enemy will try to take you out and saying, you're this, you're that. It's like, no, you know, I'm a child of God. You know, and if you've asked the Lord to forgive you and you've repented of your sins, you're forgiven. You know, if you prayed with all your heart and you meant it and mm-hmm. You weren't giving God lip service. Don't believe the lies of the enemy.
Right.
Which, let me tell you, the enemy is sowing a bunch of lies these days. I mean, he is sowing a bunch of lies. And the things that were coming on the face of the earth, the things that we're facing and going to be facing, we need to know God, man.
Right.
We need to have a serious relationship with him. And I was thinking about this, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about in the day of disaster,
mm-hmm.
we need encouragement. And I want to share some encouragement. We need encouragement because in the day of disaster and trouble and uncertainty,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
We need to know in these shaky and uncertain times, the one who is certain.
Right.
The one who changes not.
Right. Right.
And so it's so important for us to continue to trust the Lord. It's important for us to know who he is
mm-hmm.
And so one of the things is that we may be surprised when things happen. We may be surprised when disaster may suddenly come upon us. But you know, God's not surprised.
No, he's not.
And God sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow,
right,
all at the same time.
All at the same time.
All at the same time. And so, you know, if you're listening today and maybe you're facing a disaster, you're facing a challenging time. You know, a disaster is a calamity, an event, especially one occurring suddenly and causing great loss or damages or hardship. You're facing a disaster today. I want to encourage you. We want to encourage you today. We want to add faith and courage and add faith to you today, because God is faithful. I mean, we have millions of people today that are out of employment.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. If you're out of employment, if you've been discouraged and you're facing a disaster today, let me tell you, God is able. And we have folks that are sick in your body. You know, I'll never forget when my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, we got this report. I mean, he was in stage 4 cancer and didn't even know he had, I mean, just didn't even know it. And the doctor told him, you know, when you get these type of reports, and, you know, my experience has been sometimes that, you know, doctors don't necessarily are so forthright in coming. I don't know why that happens, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I would say, just give it to me straight, doc. Give it to me straight,
right,
you know. But this doctor gave it to us straight, and he told my dad, he said, listen, I don't know how to tell this to you, sir, but you have 1 month to a year to live.
Wow.
And you're just like, wow, you know, wow. Take that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him and I having this discussion that night when we got back. We're just talking and having some dinner. He says, I don't get it. I just don't get it. He says, I feel fine. How could I be sick?
Right.
How could I be sick? And he went through, you know, a series of treatments and stuff like that. And I tell you, but the Lord healed him. He went to a time of healing, which was really tremendous.
Oh, wow.
11 years of healing, which was great. They told him that he was going to die. Now, listen to this. 1 month to a year. Okay.
Wow.
In fact, what happened was he had bone cancer, stage 4.
Huh.
He fractured his hip and didn't even know how he fractured his hip. Can you imagine?
Wow.
So he goes into this pain, and the doctor says, listen, you know, we can put a new hip, you know, for you, but it could take you 6 months to recover. And our mm-hmm. concern is that you're going to have radiation on that leg, and you just don't know how this thing is going to respond. Mm-hmm. And the doctor looked at him and says, do you really want to spend the next 6 months of your life? You know, you have a year to live. You want to spend 6 months of your life trying to recuperate? And, you know, this is a very serious question. But if my dad locked into what the doctor was saying, that you have 1 month to a year to live,
right,
if he would have locked into that, if he would have locked into that report, I'm talking about facing the day of disaster, facing the time of trouble, facing time of calamity and hardship and shock, right? Mm-hmm. If he would have locked into that, he would have said, you're right. You're right, doc. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just hobble along and, mm-hmm. you know, not go through this. He says, no, I want to go through the surgery. So I remember driving him down to Chan's,
wow,
down in Gainesville, and
mm-hmm.
and he's having a surgery done down there. You know, or actually he got some special testing or something down there.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back, gets a report, and just, I mean, prayer, and we just gave it to God and just prayed over him. Man, 12 years, I believe.
Wow.
11, 12. He, I mean, went through the chemo, went through everything. It was probably one of the best, it's probably the best decade that he's ever lived. I mean, he's had some challenges throughout his life, and I mean, going through that trial,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it was amazing. All the things that God restored in his life, restored our relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just restoration everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, if you're going through a sickness today, if you've been dying, let me tell you, God is the healer. The great physician can touch you. He can heal you. He can not just heal you physically, but he can heal you emotionally. He can heal your mind. He can touch you from the inside out. And you got folks, Pat, that are dealing with loss of marriage. You know, oftentimes someone says that, you know, that I've heard them say, and we've talked to them, that going through the divorce, sometimes it's like going through a death. Because you're losing that type of a relationship, and you have children involved, and sometimes kids don't understand. And, you know, it's, again, calamity or or you're going, you know, you have love, going through financial ruin, you know, and that's a tough thing. Or maybe it's the death of a loved one, or maybe someone you love is you know, is away and incarcerated somewhere, and just there's just so many things you could just go on and on and on and on and on and on about. Right. But let me tell you something. It doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. I mean, we list these things because I want to relate to you and want to connect with you because you may be going through something today. And I want to tell you that it ain't over. It ain't over till God says it's over. Let me tell you, God is still on the throne. He knows everything that's going on. He knows the very little hairs on your head at any given moment. And let me tell you, he's not left you. He's not left you. And often, you know, people say, you know, where's God?
Mm-hmm.
He's right here. He's right, right there in your life. And he's so close, you can reach out to him. The Word of God says that God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. You know, everyone wants a testimony, Pat. You know, but nobody wants to go through the test.
Nope.
You, right. You got to go through the test. I would say if you don't go through the test, all you got are the monies. You gotta have a testimony. Yeah. You got to have a testimony. And God can pull you through. He can pull you through. But you got to trust him. You got to trust him. You need some things to be able to make it. I'm going to tell you now, if you haven't made the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, it's time. There's nothing like a sobering moment. There's nothing like a time that kind of knocks you off of your rhythm a little bit, kind of just pushes you off of your course, and where you're just realizing, wait a second, you know, God's got my attention. And I often say, you know, don't waste this trial. Why waste the trial? Why waste going through a tragedy, a calamity, a disaster, an uncertain time in your life without fully reaching out to God? And I'm not talking about reaching out for his hand,
mm-mm,
right? I'm talking about reaching out for his face, mm-hmm, to seek God. Let me tell you something. We're going to be facing some challenging times, but we can get through it with God alone. You know, God says, listen, man should not live by just bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you got to know him, and you can get to know him. You can get to know him. I mean, oh my goodness, man. I often think about, I mean, the greatest miracle that God can ever do is the miracle of you coming to God.
That's right.
That's the greatest miracle. Mm-hmm. You making him your Lord and Savior. I remember walking on a college campus when I was just crying out to God. A calamity was going on in my life. You know what I'm saying? Just crying out to God. And I remember saying, God, I need to know. I need to know, like, the grass is green, like the sky is blue, like my name is John. I need to know. You know, I've heard of you. I've heard about you. I've heard the stories. But let me tell you something. When you're going through something, that's not enough. Mm-mm. It's not enough to know of him or about him or to have someone else pray for you. You can talk to him. I said, God, I need to know. And I one of the things I used to say many, many times, and I still say it today, be careful of what you ask God because he might just do it. Mm-hmm. And God knew my heart, but I didn't want to settle for religion. Man, I didn't want to settle for this idea of God. I didn't want to settle for, you know, knowing of him and about him. I had came to a point in my life that I was going through so much, and I said, listen, you know, I'm like, I am at a point here. I said, God, I need to know you. And man, he made himself so real to me. Mm. He made himself so real to me. Wow. I remember, you know, and God's just reminding me now, you know, I remember when I heard God's voice for the first time. You know, I was crying out to God, and I received prayer. I actually came to God, and someone prayed for me. I went to go shake the minister's hand. You know, doing the cool thing. I was Mr. Cool Guy at that time. You know, so I go to shake the guy's hand, and just to say, you know, thanks, preacher man. You know, whatever. Thanks for this great message or something. You know, I didn't know what I was thinking, mm-hmm, and I go to shake his hand, and all he says is, "More Lord." That's all he says. Man, I fall down to the ground, and oh my goodness, my whole body just started shaking. I just couldn't believe this. And I start bawling. I mean, bawling. This is like in front of just, you know, a crowd of people.
Right.
You got to understand this. I'm like 20-something years old at the time. I'm entirely way too cool, okay, to cry at this point. I mean, like, yeah, way too cool. I just could not control it. Mm. And what I felt was the most amazing, amazing presence of God. I mean, it's just so beautiful. I just couldn't believe it. That was my encounter.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody's encounter is different. You don't need an encounter like that. And I've known many that just said, you know what? I'm just turning my heart to God. Don't look for encounters. Don't look for different things. But I tell you, God can do whatever he wants to do in your life, but you can make it. He wants to comfort you. You know, 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He wants to comfort you. He wants to gather you close. He wants to love on you during this time. We need encouragement. We need comfort. Another one he says, don't be so downcast. Don't be so downcast. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, who comforts us in all our trouble, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Let me tell you something. You're going through something because you want to receive God's comfort. You want to receive God's blessing. You want to receive his encouragement. You want to turn to God, because once you've gone through this, once you've been through the other side, once you've passed through the fires and you haven't been burnt, right, once you've been thrown in the lion's den and the lion got lockjawed and he had no teeth, once you've been through this stuff, you're going to be able to go back and encourage somebody else. This is not a wasted trial. This is not a waste. Don't believe that for the enemy. You know, I like to say, wear your scars as medals. You know, God can pull you through this. And he can use this testimony to encourage other people and to strengthen other people. Let me tell you, don't be silent when God does something in your life. Don't be silent when God delivers you. Don't be silent when God rescues you, because he wants you to go back. I remember when Jesus goes out and sets Legion free. Here's Legion. Mm-hmm. He's tearing up stuff, ripping up chains, cutting on himself, out of his mind.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Out of his mind. And Jesus comes and sets him free. It's like, you know, before Jesus, madman. Jesus arrives on the scene. He's in his right mind, sitting down, combing his hair, you know what I'm saying, fixing his collar.
Put some clothes on.
Yeah, putting some clothes on, because he was just, you know, and he had him by the sea. And so he's like, okay, Jesus, I give you my life, and I will follow you wherever you want to go. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, no, you go back, basically, and go tell him.
All right.
Go tell them that Jesus lives. Go tell them that the same one who set you free will set them free. We're talking about in the day of trouble, in the day of disaster, in the uncertain times when things look shaky and unshaky, who can you run to? Who's the one that remains the same? It's Jesus. He is the rock. He is the sure foundation. He's the one that you can depend on. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I often say, man, I'm not in a position that I could turn down that type of love. I'm just sorry. I'm not in that place. You know, some people will forgive you. Unfortunately, they may not forget. But Jesus will not only forgive what you've done, but he'll forget. He won't even bring it up again. Mm. The Bible says that he separates your sins as far as the east is from the west. And I'm just like, man, that sounds good to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need that.
Right.
I need that. And he offers that to every man. He doesn't wish that any man would perish, but that they would come into an abiding relationship. Listen, you need to have an abiding relationship. Listen, it's not about getting a tape. It's not about reading a book. It's not about, you got to have an abiding, you need to know God for yourself, and you can. You can get a simple plan at iabide.org. Get yourself a journal and start reading God's word, and get yourself a plan where you can begin to tune your ears to what the Lord wants to tell you, because he loves you. The other thing that you're going to need to survive during these times is the word of God. Mm-hmm. The word of God that's living, that's active, that's sharper than a double-edged sword. The word of God that speaks life and encouragement to you in your situation. There's nothing like the word of God.
That's right.
Man, you ever been through something where you're like, you're abiding that morning?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, how did he know? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this one verse, it's like life. It's life, because it is life. There's power in the gospel. There's power in the word of God to transform you, to build you, to encourage you. Because he is the encourager. He's the great one. Mm-hmm. So you need the word of God. You need the word of God in your life. You can't skip it. And now you look at the churches like, you know, 19% of the church is actually reading the word every day. They're abiding. That's not a good place to be at. Well, it means 80% are not spending time with God daily. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes you don't want to have to face trouble to start having abiding time. Now, don't get me wrong, abide at any time that, you know, if it's trouble or not, but you don't, you want to start ahead of time. You want to start ahead of time and to have a relationship with the Lord. You want to get in his word. I'm talking about unchanging. Yeah, I've been through some stuff, man, where you didn't know if you were coming or going, your head's spinning, and it's like, I just need to land somewhere safe that's steady because everything and everyone appears to be so shaky. Let me tell you, he is the one.
Right.
He's the one that changes not, right? And then you need God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
You need God's grace. Because there's things that you're going to be going through that you're not going to be able to go through it just alone. You're not going to be able to do it within your own strength. And one of the definitions of grace, where it's God's supernatural enablement. It's God's supernatural power, if you will, an impartation for you to do, Pat, what you couldn't do on your own.
Right.
It's like, you know, I can't even pick up my head today. I can't even go to work today. You know, I've been through stuff where, and I'm just being candid and honest with you, and I've been through stuff where I'm thinking, I don't even know if I can get out of bed today. I don't even want to look at a person. I don't want to have a conversation with anyone. Don't ask me. Don't ask me. You know what I'm saying? I know it's just me. Like, Pat, that's never happened to you?
A couple times.
Chris, no, maybe. He said, mm-hmm. But I've been there.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, I need grace. I need grace for the place. I need grace to function. And you know what? If you cry out to him, he'll give you such supernatural enablement. He'll give you such supernatural empowerment to break it. And it's so good. He can touch you. He can bless you. He can give you what you need. Just cry out for grace. Grace. Grace is like, you know, if you've ever been to the airport and you're flying out, and they have along the hallway, there seems to be like not an escalator, but like a fan belt, if you will, like a belt, a conveyor belt.
Yeah.
And you're walking through and you can walk in the center aisle like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can walk on this conveyor belt for maybe 30, 40 feet.
Right, right.
But what the conveyor belt does, it just pulls you along.
Yeah.
You can actually walk on it. And when you're walking on it, it's like your feet are just, you know, bouncing up and down. You're just flowing with it. You're just moving supernaturally, kind of. You're just flowing down. And that's what it's like. It's because you're carrying a heavy load.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's grace. Grace is an empowerment. You couldn't walk. You were tired. You went through all these airport terminals. You're carrying all these heavy bags. And like, I can't drive. You need grace. You need God's enablement to walk this thing out. You need grace to get from one concourse to the next. You know what I'm saying? From one hope to the next. You need grace.
Amen.
You need his word. You need him. Let me tell you something. God can pull you through. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today, no matter what you are facing, put your hope in God. You can trust him, and he is there. Oh, my goodness. We're coming to the end of the first hour. Enjoy. We'll be coming back for the extra hour. If you're not able to join us, you can catch us on 24-hour loop at the end of our program today. We'll be right back.